Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much again for the gift of your word. Thank you, Father, that you are a God who speaks today through your word to your people. And we ask, Father, for your Holy Spirit to come to be our teacher, so that as we reflect briefly on these words, we might understand more about how you want us to live and how you can use us for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So please do keep 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31 open in front of you. Those of you who are regular here will know that today is the day of our annual meeting, the annual parochial church meeting, much beloved of members of the Church of England. And we have to have it and just report and encourage one another all that goes on. And one of the things that you'll know we've had to do this year is to create a new membership list. Once every 6 years, we revise the membership list and we get everybody to fill in a form who wants to say, yes, St. Stephen's is my church and I'm baptised and I'm over 16 and I want to be recognised as being part of St. Stephen's. And it's really exciting that there are 55 people on our list. And I've just been looking at them, and each one, of course, is unique and special and amazing, and it's really important that we celebrate one another and celebrate what God is doing at among us at St. Stephen's. 55 people is a fantastic basis and foundation. But, of course, vicars have a tendency to get a little sort of worried about things, and we've looked at some of the stuff relating to the activities that are going on in church and some of the stuff relating to the finance that's going on in church, and you can think, 55 people, it's not actually terribly many. What about all the different activities that we have to do? Russell tells me that I think it's about 35 people who need to be involved every single Sunday in one way or another in order just to keep the show on the road. By the time you've had people who are welcoming and people who've done refreshments and people who are leading and people who are preaching and people who are doing the interceding and then all the Sunday school team and then the clearing up team and the setup team. There are only 55 of us in the first place, according to the list. And then what about the finances? Brian's going to tell us in a moment that our finances last year were less good. Our income was much lower than it had been the year before. And 55 people. But actually, if you come to look at it, I reckon on a brief count that there are only 31 of those 55 who are actually working. 10 are retired, 4 are students, 13 have got young children. 5 of our 55 are over 80, and 2 are housebound. So suddenly we realize that we can feel quite weak and think, you know, how on earth can we possibly keep the show on the road? How can we keep on growing? And I was enormously encouraged on Thursday night. I went down to Tunbridge Wells, where somebody I know a bit has left his job as a vicar in the Church of England in order to become full-time as a vicar in the Free Church of England. And they're really blessed in the sense that there was a community centre that generations ago his church had planted and built in the community, in the parish where he lived, and they're happy to host the new church that he's leading. And so today is the first Sunday that they are going as this new church, a Free Church of England church, taking people from the community, but also taking people from the church where he had served before. And he's doing it because he's concerned about the sort of direction of travel of where the Church of England is going. And this was one of the readings. A longer reading was what the bishop in the Free Church of England, of the Southern Diocese in the Free Church of England, what he preached on. And I was just enormously encouraged reflecting on St. Stephen's. I mean, because somebody choosing to leave the security of the Church of England in order to step out and to begin something new, and who knows is going to come with him, and who knows is going to support him, and who knows how it's going to go forward, they felt very weak. And yet, if you look at this passage in Corinthians, you'll see, look at the end of verse 27. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. You tend to think if you want to build a church, you've got to have lots of people with lots of money and lots of enthusiasm and lots of degrees and lots of really important people that are recognized by the world, and they're the ones who are going to build the church. But the message that we bring to the world is of God who's died. And that seems bananas. It's foolishness to the world. And so in the same way, God doesn't use really powerful people and worldly people and strong people and rich people in the world to build his church. Because if he did, then we would be able to say, well, haven't we done well? Haven't we done well? We've got, look, all these professionals and all this money and all these things. Haven't we done well? But when we're really conscious of being weak and not very many and fairly old and fairly frail and fairly busy and fairly all the other things that we know that our 55 people actually are, then when God builds it and it changes and grows and develops, we won't be saying, haven't we done well? We'll be saying, hasn't God done well? Hasn't God done well? And that is what it means when it says in verse 31, right at the end of our reading, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. If we were powerful in our own strength, we'd be tempted to be drawn away from God and just focus on our own strength. When we're just 55, and some of us not able to do very much, what each of us needs to do is to look to God and say, here am I, wholly available. Here am I. You've blessed me with what I have in the way of resources and time and energy. And some will say, I've got less energy than I used to have. Some will say, less money than others have got. Doesn't matter. We're saying, I'm wholly available. Lord, take me. Use me. Take what I have. Use it for your glory. It will be costly for us in terms of time to run the show well, to make sure that the Sunday school and all the other activities in church go well in this coming year. It will be costly on us if our finances are not as good as they were and the income is down on what it was, then all of us are going to have to say, can I give more? Of course that's going to be true. There will be cost that is involved in sustaining and keeping our church going. But we're coming from a place of weakness, and that is a good thing. Because the weaker we are, the more, as God builds it, the praise will go to him. Let God boast. Let us boast in the Lord. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we thank you so much that you take a message that is foolishness to the world, the message of a Messiah who is crucified. Father, you take a message that the world derides, it just thinks it's rubbish, can't get its head round. Father, you take the weak things in the world and weak people, and when you blow your Holy Spirit through and we trust you and we look to your word and we're willing to say, yes, Lord, use us, you do amazing, amazing things. You did that in Corinth with the Corinthians and St. Paul. And Father, you do it again and again down the generations. We want to pray for that new little church establishing itself in Tunbridge Wells, Emmanuel Anglican Church. Pray, Father, that you will bless it and prosper it, that it will indeed be a witness into the community where you've placed it. And Father, we want to pray for St. Stephen's, that you would bless us and prosper us and grow us for your glory in this coming year. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.